thinking. You get excited all day long. You get set whether you're going to the game, whether you're watching it at home. You turn it on, Game 3, NLCS, Citi Field. You're getting really pumped up for the feelings and emotions of playoff baseball. And then you watch that. What I am telling you here is that last night is the aberration with this team. And while there are reasons to be upset with the Mets and their performance so far through these first three games, for me, BT, I don't feel like the series is lost. Down 2-1, while the Mets have been in this spot before, whether a must-win game in Milwaukee, whether it is coming back from after losing the first game in this series, 9-0, the Mets have responded every single time, and I would expect that to be the case again. So a lot of long faces walking out of their Citi Field last night. I was one of them. I think there's reason still to be optimistic. This is a long series here. Mets have work to do, but I'm not giving up hope after last night.
I wouldn't use the word aberration when in two of the three games it's 17-0. You know, the aberration would be if it's, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 games and you have one game like this. The Mets have played 3 games. They've had 2 games like this. So I'll tell you how I'm thinking. If the Mets weren't involved and I didn't have to do this for my job, I wouldn't watch. That's how ugly this series is. I mean, I think I'm watching a JV team play against a varsity team. And I hate to do this, but I want everybody to listen. Honestly, I'm going to lay out for a second, and I want you to listen. You ready? That's the air leaving the balloon. The Mets are done. The Mets are clearly inferior. I know Lindor's had amazing moments. You going to do anything this series besides the one hit? I mean, bases loaded. You strike out. 1-for-11. Alonso, it's been a stiff. Alvarez looks like he should be in double A. He is lost. And by the way, why the manager's going to play him tonight is beyond me. I understand that you roll with the guys that kind of got you there, but he is so bad. Now it's defense. I would not play Alvarez, even though he is. Nimmo's hurt. I gotta tell you, I've got great respect for Nimmo. Nimmo might have to sit. He can't run. And he talked about, you know, when he's in the outfield, he's on the bases. That's where the plantar fasciitis really, really creeps in. He took 2 swings last night. I honestly thought he was going to fall down. So I'm not saying it's all the Mets' fault. A couple of things are going against him right now. He got some injuries, whatever. They are running into a team, Sal, that if they play 10 series, they're going to win 2. The Dodgers are better. They're better in almost every single area, and the Mets have a world of issues. Yeah. Last night was gross. You get waxed 9-0 after you lose 8-0, after you lose 8-0 in game 1.
I don't understand why you hung up on this. Why you hung up on the score?
Because
the score is not. You should know better than this. Why do you think the game resulted in an 8-0 finish, much like game 1?
Well, because there was sloppy defense,
right?
And because there were a couple tack on runs late, and okay. because the Mets had 3 hits.
Yeah. Okay, but the point is, the Mets are in a game where they are losing, so then they bring in crappy Reed Garrett into the game. He furthers the problem, so they bring in crappy Tyler McGill. Like, the result, 9-0 game 1, 8-0 last night, that's because of the way the game was being played out. It's not like Diaz got beat or the Mets' best relief pitchers got beat, Peterson got beat in this game. That didn't happen, so forget the 8-0 or the combined 17.
I can't. That matters to me. I'll tell you why, Sal.
You said the Mets are done. You sure you want to say that?
I don't think they're winning the series. Listen, okay. I said that if they lost game 2 that it was over.
Understood.
And I'm just going to put, and I also said Dodgers in 6 before, so right. I felt strongly the Dodgers would win. Don't get me wrong. Right. I'm not trying to speak this into existence. Do I think the Mets win the series? I don't.
Right. Okay.
I don't.
That's fair.
I mean, they look terrible.
I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people are feeling that. However, if you actually step back and look at it, they're down 2-1. Like, this is, somebody was going to be down 2-1 after last night. That's how series work. Especially when you split the first 2, which they needed to do. It was disappointing. It was a little surprising. I wasn't so sure they would win, but the way that they lost was disappointing to me. I thought if they were going to lose last night, it would be because Severino would get beat up, and he didn't. They beat themselves. That's what's frustrating. Whether it's Alvarez making a stupid decision defensively, whether it's Severino or not, his arm was fine. His glove was the problem last night. And then obviously not coming through in the clutch. I mean, Lindor can't do it every time. Somebody else at some point is going to have to drive in some runs, because if Lindor doesn't do it, the way that they're going, it's not going to get, the job's not going to get done. However, does that mean that I think the series is over after going down 2-1? No. Now, I mean, the Dodgers are good. We knew this was going to be a tough series. The score has nothing to do with it to me because that's just getting fat off of the bad bullpen for the Mets. It was not a give-up game, but it certainly wasn't a here's my A-plus stuff to keep this game close. Mets played a bad game last night. That's fine. They've lost two of three so far. To win the series, you've got to win four out of seven. There's work to be done from the Dodgers. And the Mets, now, what I will say is if they lose one of these next two, then I think that they're done. I don't think they're coming back needing to go to L.A. to win both. But yet, 2-1? Come on. 3-1, different story. 2-1 or 3-2 going to L.A. for game 6 and 7.
Yep.
And even then, depending on how these next two games go, maybe I wouldn't give up just yet. But it's 2-1. It's going to game 4 tonight.
So let me ask you this. So they're hitting 179 as a team. And we ran through all the stats of the four remaining teams yesterday. OPS, the pertinent ones. OPS, average, and team ERA. So, yeah, I'll grant you this, that 179 is not necessarily, nobody's a 179 hitter, and you know, for even the White Sox are a 179 hitter. But what do you think will appreciably improve to win the series? Like, that's where my faith dissipates, because I do think Lindor's going to run into another. I'm not worried about him. Do I think that Pete turns this on? I don't. I don't think Nimmo is physically capable, hate that for him.
Yeah.
That stinks, but that's baseball. Guys get hurt. Alvarez is a mental mess. I look at things and I'm like, well, who's going to really, really change this tone? And my answer is, I don't see enough answers, which is why I think the Dodgers will win. But I want to get back to something. And I guess at the end of the day, maybe it doesn't matter. But I do react to the score and the optics of the series.
Yeah.
So now think about this. Like, we come in on a Monday and the Jets or the Giants lose 37-6,
right,
or the Jets or the Giants lose 24-23. How are we reacting to that?
But
I don't know what the football equivalent is to an 8-0 loss or a 9-0 loss, but it sounds like it's about 37-6,
right,
if not worse.
But to get to 8-0, the Mets weren't putting their best out there. So that's why I don't care about the score. The game was over.
They're not hitting,
once that stiff Reed Garrett, who I can't stand the sight of Reed Garrett. What? Like, I can't stand him. And it goes back to the point of the Mets don't have enough, right? Because if they did, then you wouldn't be seeing Reed Garrett on the roster. Reed Garrett won't be in the major leagues next season. He's horrible. But yet in the Mets, in their B or C game, obviously not the A game, with a lead, Reed Garrett is nowhere to be found. That tells you all you need to know. So he's the best of the crappy options when they're trying to keep the game close when they don't have the lead.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to waste their best bullets. Stanek's not coming into the game. Maton's not coming into the game. They're not going Peterson here. They need to figure that out. And we'll get into some of their decision-making, which I have an issue with, which is going to cost them potentially down the road in the series and already starting to impact them in a negative way. But the score to me is 8-0 because they have their worst pitchers in the game. This was, hey, Tyler McGill, we don't want you anywhere near this action, but we have nobody else. You got to become an innings eater for us. You cross your fingers and hope he can get the job done, but he can't. That's how it got to 8-0. You want to say the offense was bad? That's a different story. Like, they got to be able to score some runs, but as far as the 9-0, it meant nothing in game two. Game one meant nothing for game two, just like I have to expect that game three, hopefully for the Mets, could mean nothing for game four.
I don't think that there's necessarily carryover, like, just because the Mets were really bad last night score-wise, that it carries over, like, literally carries over, but I don't think they've got the answers. So whether they lost 5-0 or 5-1, to me, it's immaterial.
Right. Okay,
like,
right.
And I got news for you. Like, and he won't do this. To me, it's so dire, based on what I said, I would sit Nimmo, I would sit Alvarez, and I would sit Taylor. I'd give Bader a shot, I'd sit Alvarez. Alvarez can't play. He's broken right now. That doesn't mean he's not going to be good down the road. I like the kid, but man, his approach is busted. Forget about AAA. He looks like he should be in AA. And then Nimmo, who we all have great respect for, the man can't move. And if I'm going down, I got to go down with healthy bodies. I would sit those three guys.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I knew there'd be an overreaction today. I know that deep down, a lot of Met fans are feeling like the series might be over. They don't want to acknowledge it. They want to trust in this team. This team has earned your belief, at the very least. There's two more games here to be played at Citi Field. If they win tonight, all of a sudden, everybody's back on the, hey, it's going to be great, and look at the Mets. They get two more games here. You got to go win them. Now you're down to it. Just like their back was against the wall, game three against Milwaukee, they responded. This team has responded every single time this year their backs have been against the wall. After game one, can't go down 0-2. And they went out there and beat up on the Dodgers. They need to do that again. Otherwise, if they go down 3-1, then I would say that the series
and
is
Sal, over. You know who's waiting for you? Yamamoto.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tattooing him tonight. Ray's in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Ray.
Good morning, fellas. You're both right. I agree with BT that the Mets are done, but damn it, they have that illogical magic and that belief. Like you said, you got to believe, but we've seen this movie before.
I just want to call a timeout for a second here, and then I'll let you continue.
Sure.
I don't believe in magic or pixie dust or the mojo or the bull crap that everybody wants to spew. The reason why you should believe in this team if you're a Mets fan is because they've done it. They did it in Atlanta. They did it in Milwaukee. They did it all regular season long once they got dug themselves out from that 11 games under. They did it from June on, then in Atlanta, then in Milwaukee, and then against the Phillies. And then against the Dodgers in game two. So they've done it. That's why there's belief.
And that's right, and that's when they disprove the fickle Mets fan that now they're on the bandwagon again. But I don't want to talk in broad strokes, but here's the point I want to make. We've seen this movie before. St. Peter's College from Jersey City with the March Madness. How far did that go? How far did it go with the Jets, with Mike Fitzpatrick getting to the playoffs? How far did that get us? Okay, we've seen this before. You know what happens? It always happens. The more refined, polished, disciplined team prevails. Did you see that Ohtani home run last night?
Ray, you missed Ray, you missed a word. Yeah, we all saw the home run. You missed a word. Talented. I mean, refined, polished. All right, great. Cute description. Dodgers are better. I think they're a lot better. Now, the Mets were also better than the Dodgers in 88, and the Mets didn't win.
Right.
So I understand you not done. Of course you're not tapping out. You guys aren't tapping out.
Did you think the Phillies were better than the Mets?
I did.
Me too.
But not as much as I think, the gap's not as pronounced as the Dodgers compared to the Mets.
But we all thought the Phillies, they were. The Phillies were the better team record-wise.
They were.
And on paper, you look at their talent and the big names that they have. The Brewers were better record-wise than the Mets in the regular season, and they had all three of those games at home. So the Mets have been doing this every step of the way. So nobody's going to dispute, I wouldn't think, that the Dodgers are a better team. Doesn't mean they're going to win the series. And where we have a difference is it's 2-1. Like 3-1, 3-0, different story.
Mm-hmm.
We just went through this 2 days ago. They got pasted in game one where the feeling was, uh-oh. And then game two, they come back, and right out of the gate, they respond. So why wouldn't I expect that to be the case tonight?
Well, no, I mean, I respect that you don't expect that. I truly do. My answer is it's different. Like, okay, one game, Mets have been, whether it's a travel, logistical thing, just based on, the weather and the way the season finished and tired arms. And, hey, I didn't put too much into, and you go back and listen to the show the other day. If you listen to the way we, I don't want to say recap, but the way we talked about the first game, I wasn't so hung up on 9-0 or the three hits they got or this or the bad game, whatever, chalk it up. I did say if they lost game two, I did think it was over. And they didn't. So, to their credit. So, I don't think that it's so much that it was the one game, but now it's two. And, it's like going out and, you have a three or a five round MMA match. Two of the three rounds, one guy gets his teeth absolutely kicked in. Is that an outlier? Probably not. The guy's probably tougher, faster, stronger, whatever. Now, question for you.
Yeah.
Forget about Lindor. So, for the Mets to come back and do this, just give me yes or no's. Does Alonso have a big influence the rest of the way? I know he has to for them to win. Do you think he does, honestly?
I think he will have an impact felt in the next two games.
Okay, I don't. All right. Nemo, do you think that he's physically capable of doing anything for a sustained period to win? He's hurt. I mean, he's injured, actually.
Well, he hasn't Not even done hurt. He hasn't really done much this whole postseason, so it's hard to say that again.
He's 1-for-10 this series.
I think they'll get one of the two to do something of significance.
Is that more out of hope, or is that more out of... Because if one of the two don't, then it's over. And you have to say that to kind of meet your enthusiasm, or at least your belief that the series isn't over.
Right, but also we were already, and maybe we were first in line, to bury Pete Alonso, and then he did... The most incredible thing that I've ever seen as far as hitting that home run. So I'm hesitant to, and that's the thing, like Nimmo's been inconsistent all year long, but like, would it shock me if he had a big hit or two over there?
Or a three-run homer?
Yeah, like,
me neither,
right, logically, based on what we're seeing, no.
Okay.
But the way that their season has gone,
I got you.
I almost expect one of them to have a big hit at some
point. Got you. Two-parter. Number one, do you think that Alvarez takes a seat?
No.
Okay. I was just really, you know, rhetorically asking. Do you think he starts to play well? He is absolutely. He's off. He looks shot. Do you think he does anything in this series besides strike out and throw balls at runners' feet?
No.
That basically go into the out. Okay. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think he's absolutely done. Those are questions, and that's why I would be very worried as a Mets fan. Like, if I can point to tangible things that I think are going to, and I do think Lindor is going to have some moments because he's very, very good. The other guys, I don't think they do much. And if they don't, they can't beat the Dodgers.
That I agree with. KC is calling from Bradley Beach, New Jersey. What's up, KC?
Hey, Case.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good, buddy. What's up?
Good. First off, I'm just driving here. I had to call in. Sal, I agree 100% with you, man. I'm the opposite of the spectrum from when that last caller who just called and tried to compare college basketball to a Major League Baseball game. You just can't. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous comparison. I think the Mets get a gem tonight from Quintana.
Mm.
I think they pull it out tonight. They definitely need to score some runs. They need to get back on track. I don't see any reason why Vientos doesn't continue to be hot. And I do see Pete having a big moment. And if they could win tonight, which they will, and they'll tie it up, and then tomorrow it'll be interesting to see whether they go with Peterson to start or Senga, whatever combination of the two. And then if they, when they get back to L.A., I have 100% confidence in Minaya. 100% that they're going to win game six.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you're spinning it forward, KC, and I respect that, and thank you for the call. Those are things you just said that have to happen. Here's what I will say. The only reason why I'm not burying the Mets is because it's only 2-1, and because they've shown you reason that you should believe in them every step of the way. I understand the task at hand, BT. The Dodgers are very difficult. This is going to be the toughest match. We said that coming into the series. We said it certainly after game one. I thought the Mets minimum, though, would win 2 out of 3 at home. Even with the loss last night, as ugly as it was, winning 2 out of 3 at home is still possible. Once that becomes an impossibility, then I will start to say, the magic is going to run out. This team has met their match, and the season is over. But there's still 2 more games to be played here. Got to get tonight. Then you got to get game 5. That's it. I mean, you want to win this series, that's what you have to do. You can't go down 3-1, or you can't go down 3-2 going back to Los Angeles. Yo, it's going to be that kind of day? Now, before we get back to the calls, there are many layers to this thing. And my issues with the Mets right now, even though I still believe that they are well, alive and well in this series, more than, like, this is not, hanging on by a thread. No, I believe the Mets are fine. I expect them to go out there and win tonight. But they have made some crucial mistakes that has cost them in these 3 games so far. Number one, starting Kodai Senga in game 1. And the reason why it's a huge mistake is because of you forced your hand. Like, the one thing the Mets have done really well this year is maximize what they have. They've been smart. They've made the right decisions when to pitch certain guys, when to give guys rest, looking at the lineup. Pitching Senga in game 1, and I don't want to hear the excuses, and I'll get to that in a second, but I don't want to hear the excuses. They pitched Senga in game 1, end of story, which meant that you're going to have him pitch twice, as opposed to Quintana pitching twice in the series.
Mm-hmm.
They chose Senga instead of Quintana. That's mistake number 1.
That's a big one.
Number 2, not sitting Alvarez last night. I'm fine with Alvarez playing tonight because of his rapport with Quintana. I mean... If Quintana's going to be good because of Alvarez catching, then you got to start him. Last night, he should not have started. There's no reason whatsoever. And you could tell, BT, the right move was to sit him. You could tell by the way that he played. Because it wasn't just that he didn't get the job done. He, right out of the gate, and I'm there watching it, and I had a great view of it. As soon as that ball is hit, squibbed in front of the plate.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they showed it on TV, but when you see a catcher with that play, it's unnatural to see him throw anywhere but first base, to a point where I was gasping before he even threw the ball, to say, like, before I knew the result of the runner being out or safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, what are you doing? The play is to first base. It's very simple. That shows me his head is up his rear end. The second part of the night, he comes up in a big spot with bases loaded, and all I'm saying is calm down, take a strike. Walker Buehler's walking the ballpark, take a strike. What does he do? He not only swings, he throws the bat 15 rows deep. That shows you that he's not mentally right. He's trying to do too much. That's another mistake by the Mets. And the other thing that they did was starting J.D. Martinez. So, and maybe this sums up the mistakes here. The Mets, all year long, one of their great traits from the beginning of the season has been holding guys accountable. Why is that changing now? Why is, if Iglesias isn't hitting, why aren't we holding him accountable and saying, you need to go with McNeil and see if he can be a better option? If Alvarez isn't performing, why isn't Torrens getting an opportunity? They, all year long, whether it's cutting Wendell, whether it's Narvaez, whoever, you know all the names, Tonkin, if you weren't getting the job done, your ass was either out or on the bench. And now they're letting these guys play when they know that the best option is not that player just because of loyalty? That doesn't make any sense.
Okay. I think the Mets roster utilization this season has been about as good as I've seen by anybody. Honestly, like they have squeezed blood out of rocks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
To get to this point. Now, I'm with you on Senga. Disaster. There's no way I would not pitch him again the rest of the year.
They have to now.
I know. I'm saying I wouldn't. Yeah. Okay, so.
Well, what would you do if you're not going to pitch him? You starting Peterson?
I'd probably start Peterson.
Yeah, and then what? Then you're going to, like, Peterson's only going to give you five any, like, at least.
Maybe I go back to McGill at that point. And I'm not saying that, listen, yeah. The options aren't amazing, but Senga would be the worst option for me. So I'm with you there.
Okay.
Number two. So, Alvarez. Now, I don't know the answer. I didn't have the reaction that you had when he immediately threw down to second base. I don't, and I understand what, you know, Muncy's average speed, you know, it wasn't like it was 12 feet in front of the mound. It was more like in front of the plate, like 5'6". He's pretty quick. I thought he got, I didn't think he had a good grip. And that's what happens with the catcher a lot coming out of that position.
I didn't see the replay. Would he have been out if the...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Okay. Because the and I don't think he had a good grip because it was almost more like a two-seamer, if you can envision it, where it's tailing. And it's going basically towards right field a little bit. If it's down the chute or towards the shortstop side of second base, I couldn't tell by the replay, and I needed this answer for my own curiosity. I think Lindor would have been able to stretch, and I think he would have been out. So I don't agree.
I still hate the play.
I got you. I do disagree that I certainly don't have the venom that you have. Like that, I'm watching the game, the play in real time. I wasn't like, ooh, that was irresponsible. They're sloppy, but whatever. But where I do really disagree, like if he's that much of a mess in your opinion, then I'm not even getting him out there with Quintana tonight. Or even though the numbers say that you probably should,
well, but if it hurts,
he's a disaster.
Yeah, understood, but if it hurts Quintana, then I'm not willing to take that risk. And at this point, like they're in too deep. My point is, last night, they've already missed their opportunity. Last night was a night where Alvarez should have sat. Winker should have been in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And they made two mistakes. And that's something that they haven't done. And then you throw in Senga on top of it. It could arguably have cost them two games in this series.
It might have. And listen, there's a couple of names. Marte, not as much now. He's pretty much solidified in right field. But Marte, Taylor, Bader, and you throw out Iglesias. That I'm going to push back incredibly hard. I don't care if he goes 0-for-5 tonight with five punch-outs. There is no way I'm sitting Iglesias. He's playing the rest of the year.
Yeah, but that's not what
the rest of the year for me, he's playing.
But then they're going to go down with their guys, as Andy Martino was reporting about. That's fine.
But I trust him more than any other guy they could put out, including Jeff McNeil. But they're here because, in large part, Iglesias.
That's fine. But they're also here because they've held guys accountable. If he's not performing and he's looked done since the Philly series with largely non-competitive at-bats, I love Iglesias. He's been great for this team. And I know all that he means in that clubhouse. However, they have been holding guys accountable all year long. That's how they've gotten to this point. You ain't getting the job done? This guy's in. Bader, you're not getting the job done? Tyrone Taylor's in. This guy's not getting a job. You're out. That's it. And Iglesias isn't getting the job done. Not to mention that he booted the ball in a series in game two.
I know. Iglesias is not.
McNeil's on the roster. I don't know if McNeil's the answer or not, and they're clearly not going to be willing to take that chance. Now,
he got an at-bat last night, maybe they're thinking about getting him in there.
My point is that what they've done all year long, because of their depth, it has allowed them to hold guys accountable if they aren't producing next guy
they
in.
They're not doing it now. No, okay, but again, here's the difference for me. Somebody like Joey Wendell, right? He was the first guy that was basically busy. Right. You're not playing well. So there's a big difference for me, Sal, holding, and I love accountability. Huge, staunch believer in that with every aspect of life. I'm with you conceptually, but somebody like Wendell did nothing, get lost. Like, Iglesias has so much equity, and I'm not saying that you just play forever because of equity, but, you know, along the line, you're going to sit down Marte. It's always hurt. He's had bounce of ineffectiveness. You're going to sit down Bader. All right, Bader was okay this year, nothing special. And I know you know, well, maybe you don't know this. Iglesias has the highest home batting average in the history of the Mets. They put the graph, I know you're at the TV, at the game. They put it on the tube last night. I didn't even know that. He had 400 at home for the Mets.
Right.
You know, nobody did that. Lee Mazzilli, I mean, anybody you want back to whatever point, Keith Hernandez, nobody. Mike Piazza, 400. For me, that guy's playing every pitch the rest of the season.
And that's what's probably going to happen. It doesn't mean that it's right. Also, a lot of those numbers that he put up, he was hitting in the two hole, remember, for a while.
So put him back.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, and then you're going to completely change the lineup around.
The lineup hasn't scored three runs. They got shut out twice.
But a lot of those numbers, to me, was because of maybe where he was hitting. I just watch him, and he's getting a lot of non-competitive bats. By the way, even those average squibbers, infield hits, I'm not trying to knock Iglesias. I'm knocking the Mets for not holding guys accountable. I understand the loyalty, but you know what? That may end your season. Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, BT Sal. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Larry?
Good, Larry.
Listen, Sal, I could not agree with you more. You just took my whole phone call. I can understand why Alvarez is playing. Mendoza, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. He's done a great job. But when I heard or looked at SNY this morning and saw he doesn't intend to change any lineup, I said, what are you doing? You're just blowing the whole season. Alvarez should sit at least a game. He's being terrible. Last night was the perfect example.
Yeah, but hold on, Larry. Larry, I'm saying that. So Sal's saying he should play tonight. I wouldn't play him tonight.
I wouldn't play him tonight. They shouldn't have played him last
night.
That,
to me, was the bigger issue. Last night was the issue, not tonight.
But yeah, exactly. I'm watching the game. Space is loaded, and I swear to God, Sal, I'm sitting there with my girlfriend, and I said to the TV, take a pitch.
Oh, my God, it was so obvious. You're right. It was so obvious. Take
the bat. And look at the pitch, for Christ's sake. When that bat went in the stands, I knew he was going to strike out.
And thank you for the call, Larry. It's a great call. BT, I'm standing there with Hurley, our boss, and Positive Tommy was at the game. Huh? And we're watching it, and I'm saying, take a strike. Like, that at bat screamed, it begged, take a strike. Guys, walk in the ballpark. And the opposite of taking a strike, like the exact opposite, is swinging so hard that you throw the bat into the stands. Unacceptable. Alvarez should not have started last night. I'm okay with it tonight, though, because now I feel like they're in too deep, and mainly because of Quintana.
The relationship with Quintana.
But dude, Alvarez has to take a hit because he you know, I love him because of his confidence, his attitude, the cockiness, the arrogance. He's been an embarrassing bust. A bust. You can't act and talk the way you do and show up the way you have in the postseason. That's unacceptable from Alvarez.
The only word I can think of that really describes his play for a while has been feeble. I mean, there's players who scuffle, and it's a tough sport, and it's a cyclical sport, and it's rooted in failure. I mean, and I know this isn't true, but he looks like he can go 50 more bats without a hit. Like, I've definitely said him. I know they're not, but I really watch. He hits a three-run home run. That would be typical baseball, maybe even typical of the Mets this year when you kind of count them out, but he can't be playing for the right to get to the World Series the way he looks right now.
Andrew's in Wayne. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, I'm just trying to figure out what their approach is going to the plate, because too many fastballs right down the middle, not painted on the outside corner, inside corner. They take too many fastballs. I know that you want Alvarez to take a strike in that situation, which, granted, that's probably the best situation, but they watch too many fastballs and then take ridiculous swings at sliders a foot and a half off the plate. in strikeouts. They had 13 strikeouts last night.
He was also filthy. Bueller's stuff was sublime. He was dirty last night.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder how much of it is Dodger pitching versus how much of it is the Mets offense struggling. Everybody says the Dodgers can't pitch, they can't pitch, and yet we've seen two guys with a pedigree, a history of being dominant pitchers at one point in time in their careers look very dominant. Flaherty in game one and Walker Bueller last night. So, I mean, I'm sure you have to credit the Dodgers a little bit. I think a big part of it is the Mets offense not doing what they're capable of doing. But either way, I mean, they're going to have to score some runs. So we could pick on the bad defense. We could pick on certain individuals. But as a whole, you get blanked in two games. That, to me, would more so than the 17 runs that were allowed and the disparity,
yeah.
I think it's a bigger issue, the fact that the offense has been inconsistent to a degree where you get shut out in two games.
I don't think that I don't process it that way. To me, it almost doesn't matter. Because when you give it up a lot and you score nothing, it doesn't look right, obviously, and it doesn't seem for me that it's going to end anytime soon. The Dodgers are just, they're a lot better.
It's already started. It started after game one. If you read Andy Martino of SNY.TV talking about how the reason why the Mets went with Sengun game one was because their pitchers are gassed. Hey, we all knew that this was going to be the case. I don't want to hear it. It's why I was yelling and screaming about getting Blake Snell or getting some real relief pitching at the deadline. I was doing it because I said, if you're going to go all in, go all in. Here they are in the NLCS, and now we're starting to hear, well, everybody's gassed. Everybody's gassed? That's not good enough. That's not an excuse. Guess what? The other three teams that are still standing, I guarantee that they're gassed to a certain extent. But they're either built better to endure it, or they're not making any excuses. I don't want to hear it. Severino needed more extra rest than Manaea. Figure it out. Oh, well, these guys are hitting more innings than they've done in years past. Yeah, well, you signed them. What'd you think was going to happen? So you're telling us all that you were not prepared for this, which to me is a problem because you messed around and got here. And now you're not prepared for it. I don't want to hear the excuses. Manaea should have pitched game one. End of story. Severino should have pitched game two. Quintana game three. End of story. And I certainly don't want to hear the excuses now where, well, oh, they're worried about the innings. And this is it. You get two rounds to go. Mm. Suck it up and do your job.
You know, so much of the Met conversation, Sal, really going back to well over a year ago, has been about the core, right? And not just to launch back into that now, because I think there's, and we've hit on them all, you know, four or five pockets of real concentration now that should worry Met fans. And to me, it's an alarming trend. But it's got to come back to the core. And I look at the core, Lindor's 1-for-11, Alonso's 1-for-11, Nimmo's 1-for-10, and McNeil has one pinch at bat. You know, so as much as we thought things changed, and they did because they made the playoffs, but, you know, that was contributions from a lot of people that weren't part of the core. The bottom line is, and you can look at the Dodgers, whether it's Ohtani and Betts and Freeman, or the Yankees with Judge and Soto and whomever you want to pick as the third piece, the Guardians with Ramirez and Kwan and whatever third piece they want.
Yeah.
It is what it is. If your best players don't show up, not that you can't steal a game, you're not winning a series.
Without Nimmo and Alonso, we said this before yesterday, if Nimmo and Alonso don't produce in some capacity, they're not winning. No. End of story.
No.
So they got to do it. Now, with all that being said, the mistakes, the excuses, it's 2-1. Like, they're down 2-1. It's not the end of the season yet. Go win tonight and tomorrow. Jack is calling from Long Island. What's up, Jack?
Guys, love the show. Respect your baseball opinions very much. As far as Alvarez goes, you can't touch him. There's no way this guy breaks out of a slump if he's sitting on the bench. I know it's an older saying, but you got to give him an opportunity. If anything, you move him up and you switch him with Iglesias. Get that little second
in the old National League. Yep. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, so far in this series, that 9 spot has come up in a lot more opportunities with runners on base than the 7.
Yep.
If you get a guy who's more contact and got to hang with Iglesias, like you were saying before, give him an opportunity. And Alvarez just has to do what he did right before that Toronto series or during that Toronto series. Just start working it back up the middle again. Stop being so pull happy like they've been saying this whole time.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. That's a well thought out call. I mean, That's how you generally bust out of a slump. You know, you get off the tee, you get in the cage, you hit the ball in the middle, and you let the ball get deep. You hit it the other way. You don't swing from your shoes and try to hit it over a bridge and lose the bat 50 yards on a fly. Now, here's why I do disagree. First of all, there's no way you're moving him up. That's one of the things that Jacks move him up. He's lucky he's going to play. I mean, he wouldn't play if I was Mendoza.
I actually don't have a problem with that idea.
I can't justify that. I'll tell you why. Because I don't look so much at results. Remember when Judge hit the double at the end of the Royal Series? And I'm like, I'm starting to see maybe. I don't know where it goes for Judge. We'll get to them in a little bit. But maybe the home run the other night, maybe that gets him going. Had a couple of walks after that double. I look at approach. I don't look at 1-for-13. Because Volpe didn't hit well against the Royals. And he stung 5 balls at the right fielder. And his swings were on point. Other way, hard up the middle. His approach back to Alvarez is awful. I mean, he's swinging at slop in the dirt. He's letting dead red heat through. He's a disaster. So to move him up, there's zero justification for that, and I would sit him.
The only reason why you would do it is to give him a boost of confidence. And if he's going to be in the lineup, I mean, he's a mess. To me, the day to sit him was yesterday. I felt that way before the game. The way he played proved that I was correct and they were wrong. I would not sit him tonight. What are the numbers, real quick, Boyle, on Alvarez and Quintana, the difference here? You have them?
Yeah, Quintana thrown to Alvarez. This year he's got a 2.87 ERA, okay. And Quintana throwing to any other catcher, 4.83.
How many starts? What's the disparity there? It's obviously heavy Alvarez. Did you happen to pop that up or put you on the spot? I mean, I don't even know that it really matters. I mean, the numbers clearly support Alvarez, but I'd like to know if it's a sample of, I don't know, I'm just throwing out 20 starts versus 6. I don't know.
Well,
either
down
way,
the stretch, Quintana figured it out. So it's been enough, I would think, down the stretch where, and I forget the exact game, but let's say somewhere in September, he started because there was talk about Quintana being out of the rotation.
We were stunned the way he pitched in Milwaukee. That I mean, he last 7-8 starts, he'd been very good.
I'm pretty sure in September, like if Quintana didn't have a lights out start, he was going to be bypassed in the rotation.
Do you know for whom? Was Senga coming back at that point?
No, it was probably
Peterson, McGill.
They might have been talking about Senga, but I think it was either Peterson or McGill. I forget the exact detail, but I just remember either hearing or reading about it that if he didn't have a big start, they were going to bypass him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, every game for them was big down the stretch. They needed the win. So,
100%.
And then he went out and had a good game, and I forget which one specifically it was, which gave him another chance. Then he had another one, and he's really been lights out since then. So Alvarez has been the catcher, I'm assuming, for all of those, which is why I would leave that alone because Quintana has been, I mean, tremendous. He's been a money pitcher for him. I'm not messing with that. I'm not opposed to moving him up, but he is completely lost right now. And the other reason why I wouldn't be as opposed to moving him up is because the guys in front of him, like Iglesias isn't doing anything either.
Where would you put him? 7? Something like that?
Yeah,
6, 7?
I'd probably go Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, Alonso, Marte, or Winker, then Alvarez. So you go Marte, let's just say, then Winker. I'd have Winker at DH. I don't care what the splits about Yamamoto.
Me too. I agree.
I mean, J.D. Martinez can't do anything. Loyalty, come on! He can't hit! He's not a power threat at all, and he can't run! Oh, Martinez walks. That's great. Now he just clogged up the bases. So he walks, and now you need a home run from the next guy, and Tyrone Taylor's not a home run hitter.
Yeah.
I would put Taylor 9th. That 9 spot has been, I mean, I know it's in part because Taylor's been getting on base, but it seems like Alvarez continues to come up in big spots. I would adjust it a little bit. Or put Iglesias 9 if you're going to have him in the lineup. Bat him 9.
I would absolutely shake it up. I mean, again, I would sit Alvarez if he's not going to do that. Then I can't justify moving him up, but there's something's got to happen. And by the way, let's be fair. It's not just Alvarez or his spot or the 9th spot. The team is batting 179. Now, again, it's only 3 games, but when you're sub 180, I mean, everybody deserves to get dropped when you really think about it.
Antonio's in Manhattan. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, guys?
Yo,
good.
I want to make a point about the Mets pitching real quick, but let me give you these scores of the 1960 World Series, and I'm going to ask you who won.
Which World Series?
Game 2. Yankees, 1960. Yankees, game 2.
Yeah.
16-3. Yankees, game 3. 10-0. Yankees, game 6. 12-0. Who won the series?
I'm assuming the other team, whoever they played.
Pirates
won the series.
Fantastic. Thanks for the history lesson.
Dominated
what does that mean
games.
Tonight? What does that mean tonight when you've been shut out 2 out of 3
games? It means basically, just making a point about how a team can dominate and yet they can lose the series.
I'm going to go back to 1960 for an example.
Go back to 1996. Go back to 1996, games 1 and 2, Atlanta couldn't look more dominant in Yankee Stadium. And then they had the big lead in Game 3, right? Was that the Wallers game, Game 3?
So they lost 12-2 the first game. Game 3 was the low-scoring game, right?
Okay, and then maybe
that was the 1-0 game.
Whatever it was. With Wallers on the mound and Lyritz is the big home. I forget exactly. It must have been Game 4 then, that one. So the Yankees won a low-scoring game in Game 3. Game 4 was the Wallers game, and then Game 5, O'Neill makes the catch, right?
With a bad hamstring, by the way.
In 96, the Braves dominated those first two games in Yankee Stadium.
Andrew Jones, 2 home runs, youngest since Mickey Mantle. I'll bet it crushed him.
That is, I understand the point, Antonio, but yeah, go ahead.
I want to make a point, which is, to me, this is the main point here. The Mets have walked 22 hitters. And look, a hitter normally, right, he fails 7 times out of 10. Normally a good hitter, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So the thing is, the Mets approach to these hitters, look, Minaya showed you that you have to basically attack these hitters. And you basically, it's all about execution of the pitchers. And if you look, 22 walks in 3 games, that's going to walk kill, especially in a short series like this. And so that's, to me, that has been the failure of the Mets here. You cannot be afraid of these guys, because eventually a guy like Kike Hernandez, he's going to get you. Because if you were bypassing these guys, you know, the top hitters all the time, eventually, you know, these guys are going to get you. Although, you know, they're going to fail more than they succeed.
And Kike, great call, Antonio.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. And Kike Hernandez hit 9th. Like, you knew that he's just going to do damage. That's what he does. The guy's a winner. He's a playoff player. He's hitting 9th in their lineup. It shows you their depth. And you're right. The Mets shouldn't be giving them any free passes. The Mets' excuse is going to be, well, our pitchers are gassed. But that's not good enough. Throw strikes.
I mean, Sal, at the end of the day, to Antonio, and I do appreciate the point of reference. I was just having a little fun with you when I was shouting you down. But when you got to go back to 1960 and you look at that Yankee roster and the Pirates as well, they had some Hall of Famers. When you look at 96, which we referenced, and you think about the Yankee players, not Hall of Famers really, but I mean all-star after all-star, grinder after grinder. Not that this Mets team certainly can't. Of course, it's 2-1. Anything can happen. But my confidence level in their talent, it's just not commensurate. Like, the 96 Yankees were, they were just different.
The Braves were a more talented team.
And the Braves than the Yankees?
100%, yeah.
That 96 team? I mean,
the Braves were world champions the year before. They won the division.
The Yankees, listen, they lost to Randy Johnson game 5 at Silverdome. Right. You know what I mean? And not Silverdome, what's the stupid
Kingdom?
Dome? The Kingdom. Yeah. I hate that place. I mean, the Yankees very well could. And by the way, 94, if they didn't cancel the season, the Yankees could have been in the World Series along with the Expos. I know the Braves' pedigree was really good.
Right.
Were they really bad? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really matter now. That Hall of Fame staff, Chipper, I mean, close.
Right.
But by the way, much closer than the talent level, in my opinion, between the two teams in the series that we're talking about now, which is all that matters.